journey through the Old Testament and hopefully singing some songs that you remember maybe from your childhood. We'll be singing songs about some of the most famous Old Testament characters. So we begin with Rock of My Soul, where we meet Abraham. Abraham was descended by 10 generations from Noah, and God promised him in Genesis 12 that he would make of him a great nation, that he would be blessed, and he would bless all who blessed him. This seemed pretty impossible at the time because Abraham was married to Sarah, who was thought to be unable to have any children. So as a way to fulfill God's promise, Sarah kind of took things into her own hands and thought she could fix the situation. So she gave her Egyptian maid Hagar to Abraham, and she bore a son named Ishmael. Then 12 years later, surprise, surprise, Sarah bore a child named Isaac. And the story that we remember probably most is what's up on the screen is the story where God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac as a test of his faith, and then in the last minute, Isaac was spared. In the song when we sing, Rock My Soul in the Bosom of Abraham, it means that we are in a position of favor with God. So Jim will be singing the verses and want everybody else to join in the chorus. So we start out with the chorus. So you can start singing with us.
Why don't you rock my soul in the bosom of Abraham? Rock my soul.
I would not be a sinner. That was you singing that, huh, Jim? Yeah. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It's nice to have you here. Yeah, thanks for singing that song. I haven't heard that since old age. Old age. You talked about Sarah and Abraham. So I was going to tell you, Jerry, that there's hope. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in behind you or in front of you, let's...
Thank you.
Yeah, good. Good morning. It's nice to have you here. Beautiful morning to praise the Lord. A couple of things happening this week on Friday and Saturday night, the Jamboree. And this year, I got a better feeling about this year than I have in a lot of years. Every act is going to be good. The Silver Treads are coming back. We thought they were going to retire last week or last year, but they're back for another couple of dances, and the music is good, and the Hammer Dulcimer is going to be there, and yeah, so this is going to be a good one. Come on over on Friday night or Saturday night. I think you'll enjoy it a lot. Then, today, your annual reports are ready. 2 Sundays from now, we will be having our annual meeting. Only 1 worship service at 9 o'clock, and then the annual meeting will follow that. So if you read the reports, you'll see how many things, activities, and how many people we've supported through the year. It's a nice report. Please just take one per family, okay, so we have enough for everybody. I think the rest of the announcements you can read on your own. I see that you can have fish fry this week or a meatball supper. So there's lots of eating to be done too. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious God, as we think on you, you are the one who has placed the Spirit in us. You are the one who has called us to be your children. You have whispered in our ear, wrapped your arms around us, blessed us, promised us your love, your forgiveness, given us hope and joy. You have sent your Son as an example of how we can live. And so today as we worship, fill us with joy, fill us with thanksgiving. And if your Spirit could whisper in our ear to speak with us, speak to us, please have our ears open that we might hear your voice. We pray this in your Son's precious name. Amen.
In the next song, we meet Joshua. He was the leader that was chosen by Moses to lead the Israelites into the promised land of Canaan. This song depicts what took place during the capture of the city of Jericho. Prior to taking the city, Joshua sent in spies to find out what the best way would be to conquer the city. So they stayed at a house of a woman named Rahab. She protected them, and in return, they promised not to harm her or her family when the city was destroyed. So for 7 days, they went and circled the city once and blew their trumpets. And on the 7th day, they went around the city 7 times instead of once. And then when the time came for them, after they had blown their trumpets, Joshua told all the people to shout, and the walls came tumbling down. Then they went in and burned and destroyed the whole city, except Rahab and her family. They kept their promise. So join in.
Just fought the battle of Jericho. And the walls came tumbling down. I know you've heard Josh fought the battle of Jericho.
Fun. Please rise. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, the sovereign over all the earth, the wisdom from on high, our merciful judge and Savior. Let us boldly approach the throne of grace, trusting in God's mercy and love. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together, generous and faithful God, we confess to you all the ways known and unknown that we reject and undermine your steadfast love. Though you made us your people, we treat strangers with suspicion. Though you forgave our debts, we collect without mercy. Yet we are quick to pass judgment on others. Have mercy on us, O God, and remember your promise to us. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Through the living word, Jesus Christ, God forgives your every debt, your every sin, and gives you a new heart and a new spirit. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ, beloved children of God, grace, mercy, and peace be with you all. Let's join in the prayer of the day. O Lord God, merciful Judge, you are the inexhaustible fountain of forgiveness. Replace our hearts of stone with hearts that love and adore you, that we may delight in doing your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the praise team to sing the anthem of the day.
Volunteers to come and sing in the praise choir and haven't gotten any. So we're going to make you part of the choir today.
Carolyn's.
Yeah, Carolyn. She's So we're going to ask you to be part of singing our anthem with us. We'll be singing the verses and then the chorus part will be on the screen. So this is about Ezekiel. He was a priest and a prophet during the time when the Israelites were exiled to Babylonia. He had a lot of visions, and he gave warnings to the Israelites in hopes of bringing them back to God. The song describes a very complex vision that he had. He sees four creatures in human form. Each had four faces and two pairs of wings and normal feet, but the hooves of a calf. Their wings made a whirring sound, and the creatures darted back and forth like flashes of lightning. Beside them were four bright gleaming wheels, and then wheels within the wheels. And overhead was a platform with a chariot throne, and on that chariot form he saw the Lord in human form. So there were four faces. The first was an ox, which stands for the labors of man. The second was an eagle, which represents our spiritual and our prayer life. The third, the lion, represents our spiritual gifts and our ministry. And the face of man represents Adam and our family obligations and shows that we are able to make free choices in our lives. The wheel beside each creature represents a particular activity that's associated with each of the four faces of man and the earth. We are to work together, side by side, and not independently of each other. New concept, huh? If we are living a balanced lifestyle, the movements in the directions of the four faces will always bring you back to the center point of God's will. So our lives always need to be pointed towards God. So through this vision, God spoke to Ezekiel and told him he was sending him to the Israelites to be their prophet and to warn them of the consequences of not following God. So you will be singing, this is the chorus that you'll be singing with us. And we start out with the chorus. So.
Speaking of old age, I forgot my cheaters, so this might not come out the way it's supposed to. Hey, for real. I knew I could depend on Doug to have a pair. Okay, there we go. Thank you. This Christian community has significant struggles with diversity. Here, Paul helps us understand that despite different practices in worship and personal piety, we do not judge one another. All Christians belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for all of us and will judge each of us. And this is from Romans 14, verses 1 through 12. Paul writes, Welcome those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions. Some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only vegetables. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of another? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Some judge one day to be better than another, while others judge all days to be alike. Let all be fully convinced in their own minds. Those who observe the day, observe it in honor of the Lord. Also, those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, so that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? Or you, why do you despise your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God." So then each of us will be accountable to God. We will read Psalm 103 responsively. I'll read the plain print. Please respond in the bold. And when you see the bold R, recite the refrain, "Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy." Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless God's holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits.
Who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases.
Who redeems your life from the grave and crowns you with steadfast love and mercy.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy. Who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your mouth is renewed, your youth is renewed like an eagle's.
O Lord, you provide vindication and justice for all who are oppressed.
You made known your ways to Moses and your works to the children of Israel.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
You will not always accuse us, nor will you keep your anger forever.
You have not dealt with us according to our sins, nor repaid us according to our iniquities.
For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is your steadfast love for those who fear you.
As far as the east is from the west, so far have you removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion for his children, so you have compassion for those who fear you, O Lord.
Lord, you are full of compassion and mercy.
Here ends the readings. Please rise in honor of the gospel and open your hearts to the good news of Jesus Christ.
Our lesson this morning, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, is found in the 18th chapter of St. Matthew. When Peter asks about the limits of forgiveness, Jesus responds with a parable that suggests human forgiveness should mirror the unlimited mercy of God. Then Peter came and said to him, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as 7 times? Jesus said to him, "Not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, and I'll pay you everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, and I will pay you.' But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. and said to him, "You wicked slave." Oh, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you now not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Old Joe was dying for years. He had held a grudge against Bill, a formerly one of his best friends. Wanting to straighten things out before he died, he sent word to Bill to come and see him. And so when Bill arrived, Joe told him that he was afraid to go into eternity with such feelings, bad feelings between them. So then very reluctantly and with very great effort, Joe apologized for the things he had said and the things he had done. And he also assured Bill that he had forgiven him for his offenses. Everything seemed fine until Bill decided to go. And as he walked out of the room, Joe called out after him, "Now just remember, if I get better, this doesn't count." In our lesson today, this gospel, Simon Peter comes to Jesus and asks, "How many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" And Jesus says, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." This is an amazing teaching. This is a teaching that we really need to take to heart if you think about it. Some versions of this say 77 times. Others say 70 times 7. Whichever the translation seems correct, Jesus seems to be saying that forgiveness should be unlimited. There should be no end to our forgiving. Doesn't Jesus realize how difficult it is to forgive people, though? Of course he does. I mean, imagine how difficult it was for him to be hanging on that cross and forgiving his persecutors and those who are mocking him. Imagine how difficult it is for him to forgive everyone who has betrayed him, including you and me. He taught unlimited forgiveness. He practiced unlimited forgiveness. And as he did that, he taught us three critical things about forgiveness. First of all, he taught us that forgiveness is possible. You and I need to see that. We don't have to be slaves to resentment. We don't have to be slaves to anger for the rest of our lives. Christ can deliver us and he can set us free. That's the first thing. That blessed saint of God, Corrie ten Boom, once told of being haunted by a wrong that had once been done to her. She had forgiven that person with her lips, but she kept rehashing the incident over and over and over in her mind, and it kept her awake nights. Finally, she called out to God for help. She needed to put this problem to rest. God brought into her midst a kindly old Lutheran pastor, which was interesting. And as she shared with this pastor that she had gone without sleep for the last 2 weeks hashing this problem over and over and over in her mind, the kindly pastor made a simple suggestion. She says, "There's a bell tower here, and in that tower there are four bells. Our sexton takes the rope and rings it, and then he lets go of the rope, and that gong still moves and rings and rings and rings, but slowly it hits one last bing and stops." He says, "If you try that, you know, you've carried that problem for so long and you've released your hand off the rope, those grievances will soon go away if you give it a chance." Well, that was just the advice that that Corrie ten Boom needed. This is what she writes. She says, "And so it proved to be. There are a few more midnight reverberations, a couple of dings when the subject came up in my conversation, but the force which was my willingness in the matter had gone out of them. They came less and less often, and at last stopped altogether. Maybe there's an incident in your past that you're carrying around with you. Some hurt, some slight that has been done to you. Maybe it's still reverberating in your brain and your heart. But if you continue to ask God's help, forgiveness is possible. You don't have to let this haunt you forever. That's what Corrie ten Boom's saying. C.S. Lewis wrote about a teacher who brutalized his life as when he was a boy. He grew up hating this teacher. Later in life, when he became a follower of Christ, Lewis realized that to forgive his teacher, he was going to have to be able to move on if he was going to continue a relationship with God. But he said every time he tried to forgive this teacher, he just couldn't do it. The bitterness in his heart for this guy was just so great. So finally, he resolved to just say the words whenever he thought about it, "I forgive you. I forgive you." Every day, he said, "I forgive you," whether he felt it or not. He would just say those words, "I forgive you." And then something happened. Later, this is what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, "Each time I said those words, another stone was removed from all the wall of bitterness I had built, till one day I came to realize that that wall was no longer there." Forgiveness. It's possible. You don't have to be a slave to your emotions when it comes to forgiveness. That's the first thing. The second thing is that forgiveness is not only possible, but it's highly desirable. The damage that we do to ourselves through unresolved anger and unresolved resentment is far more deadly than any damage we're likely to inflict on anyone else, someone who hurts us. Huh? Why keep hammering away at yourself? Our hating anyone is like burning down a house to get rid of the rat. That's what's going on here when Jesus is talking about forgiveness. The lack of forgiveness can tear us apart. A great evangelist named E. Stanley Jones said that a rattlesnake, if cornered, will sometimes get so angry it'll bite himself. We think that we're harming others and holding our negative feelings against someone else, but we're doing deeper harm to ourselves. We're biting ourselves. There's been some research done on forgiveness recently by the Templeton Foundation. They worked along with the National Institute of Mental Health and the University of Michigan. They did a great study. I think there were over 12,000 people they studied. They found that 75% of Americans were very confident that they had been forgiven by God for their past offenses. 75% forgiven by God. That includes people who weren't regular churchgoers. Three-quarters of the people believed that they had had their slates wiped clean, that they were okay. The interesting other fact that they came out of it was that when it came to forgiving other people, only about 50% had forgiven others, huh? Well, God had been gracious to them. They were unable or unwilling to be gracious to others and forgive others. They held these hurts in their hearts and they held it against the people. It's difficult to forgive people with whom you're angry. It's difficult to forgive yourself sometimes when you've done something wrong. But where forgiveness does take place, the study found the link between forgiveness and better health was very, very strong. The more prone a person is to grant forgiveness, the less likely he or she will suffer from any stress that's related to this illness. All kinds of studies have echoed that research. Forgiveness is a key to a healthy mind and to a healthy heart. Forgive someone who's done you great wrong and you'll sleep better at night. Forgive yourself and you'll sleep better at night. Forgiveness is the best thing you can do for your body and for your soul. Forgiveness. Booker T. Washington said, "No man is able to force me so low as to make me hate him." The Bible says, "Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance with someone. Forgive as the Lord has forgiven you." Forgiveness is possible. Forgiveness is highly desirable. But even beyond that, from the New Testament standpoint, Forgiveness is essential. We don't ask, don't dare ask God's forgiveness for our sins if we're not willing to forgive others. That's what's going on in our gospel lesson. So after cautioning Simon Peter to forgive one who has done him wrong 77 times, Jesus tells this parable. It's quite humorous, really, because of the level of exaggeration that's involved here. Jesus tells this parable about a man who owns who owes the king 10,000, my translation said 10,000 bags of gold. This translation says 10,000 talents. I just count that as a bag of gold, huh? Have you priced gold recently? I hope some of you didn't invest when it was up at $1,800 an ounce. Now it's down to $1,200 an ounce, so you've really taken a beating here. But if you price gold recently, a pastor friend of mine estimated that 10,000 bags of gold today would be worth $8 trillion. Holy moly. We ought to end, no, on our council we're talking about where our investments are and it's all leveled off. We're not going to make the interest we made last year. But this is $8 trillion that this guy owes him. I can't even imagine that. Something like what happened in New Hampshire a few months ago. A guy stopped at a gas station, bought a pack of cigarettes with his debit card. A few hours later, he was online checking his bank account and found that this particular pack of cigarettes set him back, I got to read this number, 23 quadrillion, 148 trillion, 855 million, 300 billion, 308 million, 184,000, $500. Comes from the Week magazine. They give me a nickel every time I mention that magazine. I mean, we're talking a lot of money for that for that pack of cigarettes. To put it in perspective, you took all the money from all the countries in the United Nations, you still wouldn't have enough money to pay for that pack of cigarettes. If that doesn't make this guy give up smoking, I don't know what will. Incidentally, when he called the bank and told them of the error, they erased it and they didn't even charge him the $15 overdraft. So Jesus tells us the story about the man who owed the king a sum of $8 trillion. Someone has estimated that if this guy were to work 365 days per year, it would require between 164,000 and 274,000 years to pay off this debt. That's what pastors do with their spare time. King was ready to have the man, his wife, his children, and all his stuff sold, thrown into prison. Man begs, asks for more time. The scriptures tell us the king was moved to compassion. Completely forgives him his entire debt. What a relief, what joy, but wait. You know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey says. Same man who was owed a debt. The man begs. He grabs him by the throat and says, pay up. And says, I can't. He has him thrown into prison. The word goes out. King finds out this man wouldn't forgive the debt that was owed to him. And basically, Jesus asks us the same question today. You have been forgiven every sin that you've ever committed. You've been forgiven and the slate has been wiped clean of every sin you've committed. You live under the amazing grace which Christ made possible on the cross of Calvary. Can you not find it in your heart to forgive others? That's what this lesson's about. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgiveness is essential not only that we might be forgiven, but because forgiveness is a redemptive act. It's a healthy act. It's an act that cleanses us. When we forgive, we not only turn an enemy into a friend, but we witness to the faith that we profess when we forgive. If someone has sinned against you, the most Christian thing in the world that you can do to that person is forgiveness and to love that person. That's what Jesus is saying. Forgiveness is possible. It's highly desirable because it's for our own good, as well as for the good of those who have offended us. But even more importantly, forgiveness is essential to our relationship with others and with God. So our friend Simon Peter asked, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother who has sinned against me. As many as 7 times. And Jesus says, not up to 7 times, 77 times. We forgive others as much as God has forgiven us. Amen. May God's peace and love and forgiveness be with us now and always. Amen. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering and ask the praise team to sing Sweet Low, Sweet Chariot.
Swing Low, Sweet Chariot is about Elijah, who was one of the most famous of the prophets of Israel. He's remembered for fiery words, his wild appearance, and opposition to the pagan cults of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. The song is a story about when Elijah was going to anoint his successor, Elisha. They went to the River Jordan, and Elijah struck the waters with his cloak, parting the waters. Once they were on the other side, it says in 2 Kings 2:11, as they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. So the message in this song is that in return for the faith that we have, we will be carried home to eternity also. So sing along with us.
Please rise. Please turn to the offertory prayer on page 5 of your bulletins. Let us pray together. God of mercy and grace, the eyes of all wait upon you, and you open your hand in blessing. Fill us with good things at your table, that we may come to the help of all in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen. With the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Speak kindly to your whole church, O God. Give us tongues that speak words of welcome and acceptance. Hear us, O God. Shower us with your gifts, O God. Give us hands that share the wealth of your creation and that tend to its keeping. Hear us, O God. Silence our quarreling, O God. Hold us accountable to one another as brothers and sisters, and make us eager to reconcile and quick to forgive. Hear us, O God. Satisfy us with good things, O God. Give healing to those who suffer in mind, body, or soul. Give respite to those who care for them, and hope for all those who worry. We especially remember in our prayers this morning Darwin and Janine, Dean Newman, Mary England, Les Bulkey, Roy Goslin, Joyce Reimer. Be with Teresa Berry and Eileen Dickinson, who will have surgery this week. And watch over and care for those who are hurting in our lives. Hear us, O God. Make your ways known to us, O God. Hold us upright as we work for justice in our neighborhoods, communities, our nation, and the world. Hear us, O God. We thank you for your love, Heavenly Father. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for calling us into your family where we can work together and enjoy one another's company, where we can forgive one another and care for one another. Give us hearts to follow you. We especially ask today that you might be with Chief's mother as she is soon to join you. Comfort her in her last days. Give comfort to Chief and his family as well. And Lord, if you could smile upon our children and our grandchildren, our brothers and sisters, and keep them in your care, we'd sure appreciate that too. You, O God, are the Lord of the dead and the living. Hold us, together with all the saints, in your redeeming and steadfast love today and all days. Hear us, O God. Trusting in your mercy and goodness, we bring before you these prayers, and whatever else you see that we need, in the name of the one who sets us free, Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory,
forever and ever. Amen. And now may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father of glory, and Jesus Christ, our priest, our peace, and the Spirit of truth be upon you and remain with you always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light. Our closing hymn is Days of Elijah.
Days of Elijah tells the story of four of the greatest men in the Bible. Moses, who was Israel's greatest spiritual leader. And we remember Moses as the baby who was put in the basket and rescued by Pharaoh's daughter and brought up as an Egyptian prince. And then on Mount Sinai, he received the Ten Commandments. And ultimately, he led the Hebrew people out of Egypt into the wilderness of Sinai to the gates of the promised land. David was Israel's greatest leader. He was a poet, a soldier, a statesman, and of Israel's kings, he was probably the most beloved. He went from a shepherd boy who defeated the giant Goliath with a slingshot. He went to become a king. When it talks about in the song David's Temple of Praise, this is the temple inside each of us where the Holy Spirit dwells. When we get to the chorus, there's a couple different things that it talks about in there. The first one comes from 1 Thessalonians. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It also talks about the year of the Jubilee. And this was a Jewish festival that happened only once every 50 years. And during that year, all the Jewish slaves were freed and all the Jewish debts were forgiven. It's the perfect symbol of what Christ's death on the cross means for us. We are no longer slaves to sin, but are set free. God was with his people in the Old Testament with all these leaders we've talked about today. He's with us today, and he will be coming again.
Declaring the word of the Lord.
with us.
It sounded lovely.